Nicole, Catherine.
How the heck are you?
You know, I am so good because when this comes out, because when this episode will be airing, it will be T-minus 12 hours until we are together.
I physically can't wait.
I'm
so excited. Also, here's a fun thing.
Tell me.
Because I just realized that I said, how the heck are you? And apparently I say that a lot because someone DM'd us the other day and was like, when I posted that tweet about like, should we rename ourselves to Complete Freaks One Formula, which was like the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, I have started saying, how the heck are you? When I catch up with my friends. And I was like, I didn't realize I said that a lot. But like, I was like, now that I think about it, that is like my go-to greeting.
You do say it a lot. I guess I just like, it's always what you say to me. So it's not something that I've ever like really considered to be out of the ordinary.
I just like think that greeting is so fun. Like, what's up is fine. But like, how the heck are you? Like, I want to know.
It's like, where was it with you? We were talking about how long time no see. I was talking to someone recently where they're like, my new favorite saying is long time no see, even though it doesn't. Oh, it was my friend Alex. And she was like, yeah, every time I see someone, I'm like, long time no see, even if it's been like 3 days. And she's like, it actually hasn't been a long time. It's been a short amount of time, actually.
Depends.
Depends. For me and you, long time no see. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Can't wait to run into your arms
long
and say that.
No see.
Too long no see. So true.
But yeah, life is good. I'm excited. We've got some very exciting things coming up that we are working on. We can't be telling you about them just yet, but
we
you will
shan't be saying
hearing
about
from
it.
Us soon about exciting news and opportunities.
Exciting new things. And where are those exciting new things happening? Oh, right. On this podcast, which is called TG1F, an F1 podcast with Kate and Nicole. Surprise, bitches. You thought we forgot.
That's Kate.
I'm Kate.
I'm Nicole.
And welcome to our show.
However, today is not necessarily an F1 podcast.
Not about us. It's not. Oh, you're right. We should rebrand.
Today.
This is not an F1 podcast with Kate and Nicole. Today, it's a NASCAR podcast.
It's a NASCAR podcast.
What? We are introducing a new series that
we
would like to call.
We've been trying to introduce it. We brought this up before, but we've had a couple of scheduling things come up, and it's just been like difficult to pin some people down that we wanted to chat with.
However, we did it this time. We did
today,
it
today. We finally did it. We brought you some new voices, some new content.
And we're very excited about it. This series, you know, this might not be like a series where it's 5 episodes in a row, but like we're going to try to sprinkle these in as we can. This is called TG1F Academy, and it's where Nicole and I, along with you all, are going to be learning about different motorsport series outside of F1. So today we're kicking it off with NASCAR with one of our very dear friends, Ash Vandelay. Find out some crazy information about her, which is, we'll wait. You gotta wait till the end. And then hoping to bring you some other episodes in this series, like F2 and F3. Like, let's dive into the lower series. Let's look at IndyCar. Let's look at
Formula
MotoGP.
E.
Formula E. Yeah, like, we're trying to kind of dive into everything to see what else is out there. Because maybe F1 is our gateway drug to just being full on motorsport girlies. And I mean, after this conversation with Ash, I'm ready to go.
Like,
so
you're with me this weekend. We may have to pop on the NASCAR series that's on this weekend just to see.
We might have to. I think we do.
We've got to walk the walk.
Before we jump into NASCAR though, got to stay true to our roots a little bit. Have like maybe 3 things that we need to talk about for F1 that have happened in the past week. Number one, our fave, Yuki Tsunoda, bringing us the thirst traps.
He
working out that video that he posted.
Yuki is like crushing it.
Like, what happened? I'm thrilled.
He got like, he's like, I'm not a rookie anymore. It's time for me to step up my game. I'm here to stay. And by, in order to do that, I need to become a social media star.
And let me tell you, he's doing it.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. Like, first, he started off slow and he was, you know, just giving us a little, you know, a sprinkle of what we could expect. And he was, you know, posting photos and videos of him at the gym with his new trainer, Michael Italiano.
Which we've discussed.
Who has been working him out.
And yeah. So we've seen that in action.
We've seen it. Because after that, he posted a couple photo dumps of him going like sand surfing and all this stuff. And I was like, Yuki has abs. Crazy. And then there was that video, a full workout compilation video. It was like a sizzle reel.
It really was.
I was like, what's happening here? I'm feeling things. I'm thinking things I'm not used to.
Yuki said, this is for the girls.
The female gaze, you want to tell me that that's not real?
The girls Yuki deserve a little treat from Yuki.
And we got one.
Thank you, Yuki.
So, Yuki, I've got eyes on you for this season. Let's see where things go from here.
He said, Pierre, you're about to see what you're missing. Miss this.
Another thing, speaking of men who love to give us a little peek into their female gaze selves, Mr. Lewis Hamilton, he's back. He's swimming in the ocean. He's giving Aquaman. He's giving so Avatar 2. Carefree, like Hakuna Matata.
Like he's not worried about this season. He's like, I know Mercedes is building the top car for me this season, and I'm taking this.
Like, I don't care.
I don't care. I'm coming back on top, and I'm Jay chilling right now.
You want to be on top?
Exactly. Lewis isn't here to make friends.
No, he's looking here to win. Amazing. The photo of him like in the rearview mirror giving the double middle fingers. I was like, okay, Tumblr girly.
Iconic.
So excited to see where Lewis is going right now. I feel like his vibe has been kind of like he's been on like a steady vibe shift lately, and I'm excited about it.
Me too.
Someone,
I feel like he's firmly in his 30s.
Yes.
Confidently himself. I think he's really not trying to be anyone he's not.
Exactly.
And that's something we can all strive for.
100 Well, I mean, we should all strive to be more like Lewis anyways, but someone who I am not striving to be and someone who is having a vibe shift in a very weird way, Fernando Alonso.
What's going on with him?
He was in a Hugo Boss campaign.
A lot of people were.
And I was just like, Alonso? I've never seen him in a good outfit ever. Not once.
He was.
So I was just confused by it. Confused by the casting decision by the Hugo Boss team.
Yeah, it was fine. It was not, I mean, you know we're not the biggest fans of Alonso on this pod.
It's just like, he doesn't give me anything. Like, I mean, I guess I respect him as a driver, but I'm like, he's just not doing it for me, you know?
That's fine. We don't have to, you know, sometimes we do say we don't hate anyone on this podcast, which we we can get into my apology tour.
Oh, yeah, and a second apology tour.
This week, which everyone thinks that we apparently hate Max Verstappen. If anything, I just, like, dislike Alonso. I just, like, don't care for him. It's like, I don't think about him, you know?
And I'm just, like, indifferent.
I think that's actually worse than hating someone because, like, Alonso does not live in my mind rent-free, right?
No.
Like, he's barely ever even in my mind.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
Yeah. Well, let's just get it out of the way. The mic is yours. Apology tore it up, Nicole.
Yeah. So apparently there's been some drama and people think that we hate Max Verstappen. Absolutely not the case. We have never once said those words. If you would like to infer that we dislike Max based on some of his actions, I think you are putting words in our mouths and you're inferring how he is behaving, in turn making us seem like we are hateful towards him, which is not the case. I am probably one of the number one Max defenders out of anyone that I know. I ride very hard for Max to basically everyone who, like, says that they hate him as a person. I'm like, you don't even know him as a person.
And just talked so many times about what a great, like, stepdad he is to Pete and how adorable he is. Like, here's the thing. Max is someone that is easy to make fun of. Mm-hmm. And, like, he does things. First of all, people mad about at us think we hate him because we make fun of his workout routines. I'm not making fun of that in the way that, like, I think he's, like, a loser and I hate him. I'm literally impressed. Like, Max's goals. Max is a two-time world champion that barely works out. Like, I'm embarrassed for the other 19 drivers on the grid for how hard they work to get these bodies that they have and how hard they're working out to not even compare.
Like, that's a compliment, actually. Like, think about it. Like, actually think, like, about it. Use your critical thinking brain and think about that. That's actually a compliment.
Like, it's – I'm like – and listen, this is a podcast where we make some jokes and we're having fun and we're just laughing together as friends. It can't always be sunshines and rainbows. Like, I have to make fun of someone sometime.
Literally.
Like, it does not mean that I hate them. I make fun of myself mostly on this podcast. Like, going back to one of our very first episodes.
We make fun we make fun of Charles a lot on this podcast. I make fun of Danny all the time on this podcast. Doesn't mean I hate him. I actually would die for him. So,
like, I would sell my soul.
Literally.
For Charles. So, like, people... Relax. Let's bring back a motto of ours that it's been too long since we used it.
It's been too fucking long.
It's been far too long since we've told people. We need to remind everyone listening to this podcast, and maybe just everyone in the world, why be upset
when you can just have
fun? Just have fun. Why be upset? You could just have fun. Touch some grass and have fun.
We're literally two girls on the internet with a microphone talking about Formula One.
Like,
our opinions I'm not don't running matter.
For office here. Max Verstappen will never hear my voice. Like, I am self-aware enough to know that I am nowhere near cool enough for Max Verstappen to ever hear my voice, listen to this podcast, and know that I have
thoughts made fun about of his him.
Workout.
Yeah, like he's really he worried about. Care. He's really and worried he about did, what we're saying.
And if he did hear it, he would laugh and be like, that's stupid that these two girls think that their opinion means anything. I know my opinion means nothing. I'm just having fun because guess what? I'm not being upset. I'm just having fun.
We're team having fun, as King Curtis.
Team having
would like to say.
Fun. Oh, anyways. Okay, off of that because I'm done with our apology tour.
No more apology tours.
No.
We're not saying sorry for anything anymore, you guys.
Ever. I'll never say sorry again. Danny has resurfaced. Danny is back. Danny went on a little social media hiatus for a while. He's back. Him. He's posting on the gram again. He's posting on LinkedIn again.
You the watch a couple is over. Weeks ago you said that there was a rumor that him and Heidi were broken up, and that is yeah. clearly not the truth. So you lied to me. Yep. You got my hopes up, and that is fake of you. So yeah. You can say sorry for that to me, actually, personally.
I'm sorry about that. I am laughing because we just got a DM from one of our faves, Brandon. And he said, my first thought when I saw this was, at least it came out Danny's thing. He said, at least it came out before they record for the week, so Nicole can be sad about the Heidi pick in real time versus the ongoing saga of things that happen right after the episode is recorded. And Brandon, you're damn right. Except actually, I think this one would have been swept under the rug.
This morning when I woke up, opened my eyes. So yeah, I had a full day of it. So thank you so much.
Oh my god. Okay, and then the last two things we have to talk about are we finally have some new F1 content in the world. We finally got 2023 cars from Haas and Alfa Romeo.
Yes, we did.
We did say this the other week. If you're just learning about F1, do not think that that is going to be the car that you're seeing on track, because it's not.
Okay, but the Alfa Romeo, like,
sick.
Like, graffiti one. I was like, this should be the car for all of the season. This
and is I'm sick. Obsessed that they worked with a graffiti artist named Boogie. I have to know more. It's the Alfa X Boogie car. Like, that is so fun.
Sick.
I think I'm an Alfa Romeo car.
You are.
Like,
you're an Alfa apologist.
I am an Alfa hole.
Joe. Okay, it's giving fantasy novel male character.
Literally, I'm an alpha hole. What can I say about it? Hi, my name is Kate, and I'm an alpha hole.
Alpha holes anonymous.
Anyways, their car is sick. Haas looks pretty sleek. I kind of am hoping
it does. Haas, I feel like X Haas, money gram.
like, I can't talk about that. But I also feel like Haas doesn't necessarily have enough money to, like, have a fake car reveal. Yeah, so, no, like, I feel like this is the car that we're going to see. So, scratch what I said before, because I think this Haas is what we're going to see on track. Maybe slight differences, but it's sleek looking, and I'm into it. I hope it's what we see.
Yeah, next 2 weeks we get to see more of the cars, which is exciting.
More cars, more problems.
Let's be clear, Red Bull, you have
4 days
to reach out to us and invite us to the car launch.
Actually, no, yeah, you're right. 3 days. You have 3 days. 3 days. As of when this podcast goes live and you might hear it, you have 1 day.
1 day.
You have 24 hours. You have 24 hours to respond. to respond to our request to join the car launch.
We'll be waiting. You can find our address if you need. Send a courier with a personal
courier
with a hand invite. Okay, and I'll be waiting on bated breath.
Send a task rabbit. You won't.
AlphaTauri, alternatively, you have 1 week.
1 week.
If you would also like to invite us. So
everyone who wants to invite us, get your ducks in order right now.
Time is ticking. We're going to be booked up soon, okay?
I'm dead. Okay, without further ado, I think we got to...
Let's get
it. This is going to be the longest fucking episode ever.
But it's a good one.
Good one. So let's get into our conversation with our friend, the NASCAR expert, Ash Vandelay. We've gotten so many requests from people on our F1 Fact Fridays, on just like in general, now that more people know who we are. And, you know, we've posted a couple, you know, drivers from other series, other athletes, like, and now people are like, teach me about NASCAR. And I'm like, I don't know anything about NASCAR. Or they're like, teach me about IndyCar. And I'm like, sorry, I don't know anything about IndyCar. They're like, teach me about F2 and F3. And I'm like, once again, I'm limited in my knowledge of everything other than F1. So we decided that we want to learn more and everyone else wants to learn more. And so why don't we just learn more with everyone? So we are bringing on experts, or however you would like to define yourselves, but people that we know that are very into and knowledgeable about different motorsport series to teach us and teach our followers. So as our first guest, we are learning about NASCAR from our friend Ash Vandelay. You know her from Twitch. She is the number one best streamer in the entire world. Am I getting that stat correctly? Yes or no?
Oh yeah, the entire world. Absolutely. Yeah. All billions of us. I appreciate that. That's very nice. You remember that scene in the original Willy Wonka where they sit in like the boat and it's all very peaceful and then it gets like crazy? Yeah. This is what I imagine today is going to be like. I just want everyone to gear up. Get ready for this NASCAR craziness.
I mean, I feel like NASCAR is the series that, especially in America, people have the most awareness of. Like, it's, you might not know the rules or like know about it, but you know what NASCAR is. And like, it's kind of like, and I mean, in the US especially, people are like, oh, you're into F1, is that NASCAR? Or like, oh, I went to a NASCAR race. Or I went to an F1 race, and you're like, no, that was actually NASCAR. So I feel like it's like the one people have like some idea about. But like personally, I know as much about NASCAR as I learned from watching Cars, the movie.
Perfect start. I mean, I rather.
I will say I'm a little bit more well-versed in NASCAR. My best friend and current roommate, Carly, her dad was a huge NASCAR fan. So we always grew up like driving back from her lake house, like having to listen to NASCAR on Sunday mornings on the radio. So like, I'm starting with like a baseline knowledge and understanding of the rules and some of the top drivers like in the early 2000s, but that's basically it. So you're working with some pretty fresh slates here.
I like watched the Bubba Wallace documentary on Netflix, and like that's about where my expertise stops.
That's pretty good.
Ricky Bobby.
It was good. I really liked it.
You know, we've got, I know what we're rocking with Ricky Bobby. I can basically quote that entire movie. So, you know, I think I'm pretty knowledgeable on NASCAR at that point.
I mean, honestly, we can just end the podcast right here. Everyone just go watch the movies.
Yeah.
The shows,
yeah. What's the, like, we'll have to get into the accuracy of an F1 race or a NASCAR race versus
a Ricky Bobby scene.
Amazing.
I would love nothing more. But yeah, like Kate said, thanks, Ash, for being here. We're excited. First things first, you are hot off of 24 Hours Daytona. I'm getting that right. That's correct, right, Daytona?
That okay. is correct.
Again, not super, super knowledgeable here. So how was it? Like, what was the experience like for you? Tell us everything that you did.
So you hear about the Daytona 24, and I did like the virtual mm-hmm. stuff on iRacing, and everyone talks about it. But I think till you experience it, you don't realize how big of a deal it is and how cool it is and the atmosphere around it. It's just a whole different kind of vibe than like an F1 race or any other kind of like sporting event that you go to. It is something that we're all staying up for 24 hours. You know,
did you stay up the full 24 hours?
Look, no, okay. Don't tell
I won't bully your cover. We won't
cut it out. This is redacted. I love sleep. Redacted. Yeah, yeah. In the editing, if you could be like, did you sleep for 24? Did you stay up? And just
beep.
And then we'll move on with the conversation. I did not, but obviously a lot of the crew did on the pit lane. You'll see a lot of videos, or like pictures of them sleeping on tires, like on concrete. Like they just got to do what they got to do. But it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I went with Turner Motorsport and a BS Plus competition, which is a BMW esports group. So there was a little bit of sim racing involved. There is a lot of normal racing involved. And just meeting a lot of people from the internet. I think we've mm-hmm. all met amongst ourselves, like people from motorsports on Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And that like we've talked to or interacted. But meeting them in person is something very different. And just being like, oh, hey, you exist. I exist. So cool to meet you. Like, very awesome.
That's amazing. And so, you know, what was the highlight of the experience of the weekend?
Ooh, I don't know if I can just pick
one. Okay, maybe top three. I mean, like, what was, like, maybe most impressive or something that you didn't expect out of the weekend?
Maybe not didn't expect, but I guess the first thing is, I don't know if you guys have, like, ever seen video or pictures or anything of the Rolex 24. The camping vibe mm-hmm. or like the camping culture around the Rolex 24, because where I would have to park, luckily in the employee lot with the credentials I had, you took a tram because the tracks, forget about endurance racing, it's endurance walking. You took a tram from the parking lot through to the infield. But the whole entire time you're just seeing all these RVs, these campers, these people who've built like little towns, essentially a racetrack. And I think why we like going to motorsport events is a walkable mm-hmm. city. And everyone's established these communities within the racetrack for X number of days. And they're all like exchanging stuff, exchanging resources. Like people like, do you have a cup of sugar to make pancakes with in the morning? Like it's such a cool.
Back to the bartering system. I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah. Everyone's got campfires. People bring their own platforms, like race platforms, so they can watch like over the RVs and see the track.
Wow.
So that's probably the number one thing I was impressed by. And I don't even know how I would ever capture that like in a video or a short form video.
It's something you just have to experience for yourself, I guess. Like yeah. anyone who's, I mean, I've never done camping at like a motorsport event, but I have been to Bonnaroo and I have camped at Bonnaroo, which is a similar experience where everyone's in their own little towns. All of the little campsites have your neighbors and you're getting to know them and everyone's experiencing the same thing. And it's really magical in a sense, but it's also something that I personally only have the energy for once every couple of years.
I feel like in my brain, it's like reminding me of like Harry Potter, the Quidditch World Cup, and like everyone just like in their tents, like doing their shit. Like that's like in my brain, like that's what I'm picturing as you were talking about that. And like, I feel like we were like, oh, they have their projectors or their things up so they can watch. I'm like, that would be so like magic. Like in Harry Potter, like they would have used magic to be able to like see from their campsite.
And everyone's just like here for the same mm-hmm. reason. And like if people have, it's so interesting to see people have like Porsche flags, BMW, like Penske, et cetera. It's so interesting to see like all the different flags of like motorsports. Cause I feel like that's such like a American sports of like, if you're football, American football, baseball, everyone's got like the paraphernalia of their team. But it's interesting to see that kind of leak over into motorsports.
Pride runs deep, no matter what sport you're rooting for.
This would be an interesting conversation. I really think that motorsports doesn't have that kind of tribalism that American motorsports has. We have that in our series, mm-hmm. like, right? Like, F1 fans will yell at NASCAR fans, will yell at IndyCar fans, will yell at WRC fans all day long. But I feel like I inherently, because I was born in New York City, and I deeply apologize to all of your listeners born in this region. If you were from the city of Boston and you tell me that and you're like, oh, the Bruins were so good last night. And I was like, oh, man, I don't know.
As you're speaking to like, two former Boston residents.
Oh, the podcast just said
we're like, actually, we shan't be inviting Ash on this podcast anymore.
Sorry the end is so shortly. Ash just had
no,
to go.
I totally I mean I totally agree. I think obviously, right, we've got the Yankees Red Sox, we've got, you know, the Packers Bears rivalries. Like there's a lot of iconic rivalries in mm-hmm. at least US sports. I think though, I will say, like, especially in Formula One, I think we're kind of seeing a little bit of that though, as teams become more like of an item than just like the drivers on them.
Yeah, I see that like driver mm-hmm. rivalry, right? Like we're starting to angrily type. I could hear all the keyboards about like driver rivalries in the early 2000s mm-hmm. or 90s, etc. But that was just driver to yeah. driver, right? And of course you have Ferrari, which had the Tifosi, and like that's a whole thing. But I feel like that's all the you being a fan of someone is like either passed down by your family, mm-hmm. right? If someone, if your like dad's a fan of X or Y, you're becoming a fan of X or Y. And I guess I don't even know if it's because because they travel all over the world. They don't really play at a home mm-hmm. stadium. They don't really have like that kind of stuff. I don't even know how engaged they are in their local communities. I know like Merck does a lot of stuff in the UK with STEM education. But yeah, I just feel like there's just like a little lacking between teams.
I think we're going to see that grow though, you know, as they become – brands become more personified, I feel like, every single year. And I think
– especially now that they're in the US. Yeah. Like now that they have American fans, like people – like Americans ride or die for a team. And like if they're getting into F1, like they're – hardcore for like a team, they're gonna pick a driver, but they're gonna pick a team. And I feel like the biggest thing we see right now is like Red Bull Mercedes, like with the Lewis and Max thing and Toto and Christian like at each other, like you're one or the other, I feel like, for a lot of people.
Well, if Christian stops saying dumb shit, it won't be that hard, okay? Like every time he opens his goddamn mouth, you're like, please, dude, like get PR.
I know, like him and Max's team, like that whole Red Bull PR team is just working overtime to squash the fires that they start.
Oh my gosh. Do not envy them. And I, to someone's point that's probably typing, that driver
metaphorically
is just knowing. I just know someone's angry with tweeting that drivers don't stay with the teams for so long, mm-hmm. right? Like drivers are constantly switching. So it's hard to build that loyalty. And that's why people usually follow like driver to driver, like who's your favorite driver? And then they'll just buy merch for whatever team they're on from that driver. But I feel like because Max has been with Red Bull so long and we're seeing Lewis be with Mercedes so long and Charles Leclerc being with Ferrari so long, to your point, that might be growing just a little bit more because their contracts are finally being a little bit more extended.
Yeah.
So you associate those folks with those teams and you're like, that is it. That's all I got.
Right. No.
Yeah. I feel like the future of F1 is going to be very like drivers find a team and like stay with them. Like I feel like teams are like really starting to like heavily invest in their drivers and find their like next generation and the people that they want to sign for a long time, especially at the top teams. Like the best way to get talent is to like nurture it and like build them up exactly how you want them. So I'm intrigued, but we are not here to talk about F1.
We're not here about F1.
This is we have strayed from the path. Surprise to no one. So we're going to jump in. We're going to jump into NASCAR.
Let's do it.
Give us an elevator pitch for NASCAR. What is it? Why should we watch?
Look, for all everyone listening, I feel like I'm in like business class in college again. Like, give an elevator pitch for this product. Sell me this pencil in 30 seconds, and that's like so freaking stressful.
So sorry.
If we were at the bar, I'm like, Ash, like, what have you been up to lately? And you're like, listen, I'm into NASCAR, and I'm like, okay, tell me more.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You mentioned you were bored because F1 wasn't on. Would you like to not be bored anymore? Do you like fast cars? Well, may I introduce – and just drama. Do you like drama? Do you just like drama? Like that you can step away from if you want to, but like you can just watch it unfold on other people. Let me introduce you to NASCAR. I enjoy it because not only is it ovals and it's different kinds mm-hmm. of ovals and tracks, there's also road courses now. So they go left and right for everyone making those one-hand jokes all the time. They have a lot of personalities, which is where the drama comes in. It's super fun that they have the way the team is structured. And I know, I think that's one of the questions later on with the owner, the team, and how many cars you're allowed to have in a team. But each team, like there's like sub teams because mm-hmm. you only care about the driver who's under the owner that you're covering. There's a lot of definitely drama amongst stuff. And there's no team orders. Well, supposed to be no team orders, heavy quotes. Mm-hmm. Whether that happens or not is another discussion, but there's supposed to be no team orders. Because you can get in trouble for that. There are consequences if like they – I know there's secret comms for NASCAR too, which is exciting to hear about. So all the things you're interested in Formula One, I think that's kind of just beefed up in NASCAR.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. Very okay. I am intrigued. So
you've piqued my interest
because now I do want to learn more. What was your first experience with NASCAR? Is it something that you like grew up on? Is it something that you recently got into? Like, just curious about like how you got into NASCAR in the first place, and like really what like made you stick around.
I understood why you said like grew up on, because people do that, but like I kind of giggled because I'm like from New York City, so obviously I didn't grow up on NASCAR. I'm just like laughing. My friends from back home are like, she did not grow up on
the
NASCAR.
Pinnacle of NASCAR. Well, I mean, we've got Watkins Glen as big NASCAR racetrack, so it's not like that out of the question, but you're right.
A couple hours away from the city, near the glass museum that's there, the Corning Glass Museum. It's upstate. But yeah, no, that's a good point. And also IMSA Racing, go Watkins Glen. I think I've always just knew about it. I think, as you mentioned, in the United States, you kind of just know. And then we had commercials in the 90s that had a lot of just NASCAR-centered mm-hmm. stuff, or like, used by NASCAR. Like, look, use this oil for your car. It's used by NASCAR. I think one of Taylor Swift's first commercials was a NASCAR commercial, or like a NASCAR-branded commercial like NASCAR products.
We'll
and
have
stuff.
To find it.
She's like super young. It's super funny. She's like an airport vet. It's hilarious. So always familiar with it. Just around, I never really watched it. Last year, very early on, and I got a shout out, Doug York from Dover Motor Speedway in Delaware, director of marketing for the racetrack. And he's like, yo, I like your stuff. Come to Dover. And that's like the first time I think any like motorsports has reached out to me. And I was like, really? I don't do NASCAR. And he's like, I don't care. He's like, do what you do, but like come to Dover and do it. And I was like, sweet.
Was this for a race or just like off season?
Okay. For a race, yeah. For the race at Dover. So it's only like an hour from DC, which I didn't realize. Not too bad of a drive, because Richmond's also like an hour, 45 minutes. So equidistant. And I brought my two best friends, and it was fun. They gave us really cool access. And like, right, the access in American motorsports is something completely different than you can get from Formula One. So whether you're an IMSA, GT World Challenge, NASCAR, the fact like the cars are right there, there's an event outside the track. So you don't even need tickets for the track. If you have tickets and you want to go watch the race with somebody, but your friends all want to come hang out, they'll just go ahead, park at the free parking lot that they have. Or if you want to pay for better parking, you can. But there's free parking. You go out. There's a ton of vendors, tons of booths, tons of food. They have like bar. They have like a whole like bar grass brewery set up in like one section of the thing. You can just hang out. I'm sure they have like TVs and radio so you can listen to the race. And then you can go in and like see the car, see the drivers and all that stuff, and driver signings. So it's just, again, like a nice little walkable city where you don't need tickets for the race even if you don't want to. It's like a whole different culture versus inside and outside the racetrack, which is pretty fun.
Okay, so cool. You're really doing this. Like, you're really, like, getting me in debt to be a NASCAR fan right now. Like, I'm like, okay, when am I going? Like, you're really selling it.
You're going to like this. You can bring your own food and drink at the NASCAR races. So you can bring – I think it's a soft-shell cooler. I know someone from NASCAR is like, let me tell you the rules. I think it's a soft-shell cooler. Just double-check on that. It has to be, like, a certain size and dimension, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you can bring your own beer, bring some White Claws, and just go sit up in the thing and enjoy the
ride. I mean, one thing I think that I would love about NASCAR is its, you know, lack of like pretentiousness, right? Like, I think that, you know, right, NASCAR gets this kind of like air about it where people are like, oh, I look down on NASCAR, it's for like rednecks, right? But like, for me personally, I would love to just go drink beer in the stands with my pals watching some cars go fast. I think that that sounds like a phenomenal time. And so anyone who shits on NASCAR, I just think like doesn't like to have fun. And I think a lot of F1 fans look down on American motorsport culture because it's seen as less than. And I would like to put that to bed right now, that it is not less than.
They look at it less than because it's American. Yes,
exactly.
Literally the same thing. Formula One, NASCAR, GT World Challenge, IMSA. At its core, if you strip away like the pretentiousness, we're all the same thing. We're a bunch of grease monkeys who want to look at fast cars. Like, it's still a car. It's still an engine. You're getting like dirt under your nails. Right. Like, the pit crew is sweating their balls off. They're cursing in the garage. They're probably swigging beers after work too in Le Mans and then Monza and all this other stuff. Like, don't pretend like F1, they're just drinking champagne and having caviar in the back. They're absolutely not. And I don't have it's like the greatest marketing trick F1 has ever played on the motorsports world, that it is some kind of like air release. No, they're drinking Heinekens up in the stands. What are you talking about? Like,
yeah.
100%.
I just feel like the thing about NASCAR is like, NASCAR knows who it is. Mm-hmm. NASCAR has like, NASCAR like knows who NASCAR is. Absolutely. And they know their audience, and they like give the people what they want. And, you know, they're not going to charge you. They're not going to have a ticket option for $5 million in Vegas. Like, that's not what NASCAR is about, because they know who they are, and they are okay with that. I feel like F1 has kind of almost become this, like, let me prove to you. Like, let me prove to you how much better I am than all these other things. And, like, I'm so exclusive. You have to pay for all these things. And you're only going to get a little bit of access and all this stuff because I'm going to make you want more. Where NASCAR is just like, I don't have anything to hide. You can just come in and do what you want.
They know it's for the mm-hmm. people. And that's, like, right, NASCAR. And speaking of, like, the origin of why people think it's for, like, quote-unquote rednecks or whatever, is, right, the origin is them outrunning the cops for moonshine. Like, that is the origin of NASCAR. And you're like, fuck yeah. That sounds great. So it's for mm-hmm. people. It's for everyday people. You got something to do. You have 3 days to choose. You have trucks, Xfinity Cup, or sometimes they're double a day, but usually it's three different days, either Thursday and Friday for trucks, and then you have Saturday and Sunday. Pick a day. Or pick all the days. Don't even go inside the track. Go outside to the local – go to your track and stay outside and just hang out with mm-hmm. everyone. Like, it's a brewery, a music fest, et cetera. Because they do have local artists that come and play music. It's just fun. It's a whole vibe.
I mean, I think this is a good segue because we're kind of already on this topic. But, you know, obviously a lot of our fans are Formula One fans who are interested in learning more about other racing series. So what are some of the biggest differences between NASCAR and Formula One?
Sure. Immediately, the first things are the cars, obviously. So NASCAR uses stock cars, and by that, it's all the same. Like, they mm-hmm. have inherently the same car that they're – which I think is more interesting in a certain way, because now the strategy is, like, this guy has the same car. What can we possibly do different to be just a little mm-hmm. bit faster, even though he was given the same car? Sort of the engine manufacturers, though there are three, might be a little bit different, and they can do things with tire strategy and pit strategy and things like that. I think that's inherently just different. So F1 open wheel cars, NASCAR stock cars, like NASCAR vehicles are more similar to what we're driving on the mm-hmm. road. So hence you hear the saying, the very popular saying, win on Sunday, sell on Monday. Because it's like, hey, like, look at this Toyota. Like, look what it just did. Like, you could drive like that. You could drive like Joey Logano if you buy this truck mm-hmm. right now or something like that. Built by the same person who built his car. Like, we're reliable. We can win you the race from green light to green light. So that's really fun. The F1 cars are significantly lighter than NASCAR cars. Mm. I think F1 made mostly of carbon fiber. NASCAR is not. Additionally, NASCAR has a V8 engine that's only 750 horsepower, and F1 uses a V6 engine that now produces 1,000 horsepower. So F1 cars do go a little bit faster, but F1 also, the whole point is obviously, I mean, both of them are speed and finishing going across the finish line. But NASCAR is a little bit more – you don't want to brake in NASCAR. Mm-hmm. It's like a fine finessing of the braking and the gas of acceleration. Meanwhile, obviously, F1 has those corners, the straightaway, so you're stopping and going. But something we're a little bit more used to driving every day because you're not on the throttle all day while you're driving to work. But NASCAR, the point is to be on the throttle. But you got short ovals, so you can't be on the throttle because you're going to – spin your car, but then you have super speedways, and then you have the road courses, and it's like a whole thing. So obviously the tracks are a little bit different, and I think inherently they're just the cars, but overall the gist of it, of strategy, pit strategy and things like that, a big similarities, I guess, that would be the next question, would be big teams and big money needed for both and strategy.
I feel like the most interesting thing about stock cars and like a series where all the cars are the same is mm-hmm. like, I feel like we get so much in F1, like the argument of like, put them in the same car and like, we'll see who's the better driver. Like, so many people are like, put Max and Lewis in the same car and we'll see like who would have done this better. Where it's like, these series, it's like, okay, that's it. Like, they're all in the same car. So you're like, going to see that, which I think is super interesting. I mean, obviously, I think it's interesting in F1 because I like to see how the different teams do different cars and seeing like the improvements that they can make. That's like, oh my God, they like nailed it. Like, they unlocked the key that's like making this car so fast. But I think for people that really care about like the drivers, like the driver quality of like, if this person was in the same car as this other person, who would win? Like, I feel like series like NASCAR, like, ideal.
Because I know we're going off topic here a little bit, but IndyCar is similar, right? Where IndyCar, all the cars are also the same.
Same chassis,
which we see a decent amount of Formula One drivers end up in IndyCar anyway. So, you know, it's a similar kind of situation. Maybe it's just inherently American that we're like, everyone's getting the same car and you all got to be better drivers than each other. But yeah, I think I appreciate the fact that NASCAR is stock car, and it's like, all right, everyone's kind of starting from the same starting line and let's see how good you are actually out there, which is very fun. Do you have a I don't know if this may be a later question, but like, who's your favorite driver right now
of all time?
It could be of all time. I don't know if you're like, I'm really like, back in the day you were like, I was really into like Dale Earnhardt Jr. He's one of the only people I know.
I was going to say, who else do you know, Nicole?
Jeff Gordon. And then obviously.
Okay, this is a quiz hour now for Nicole. Now she's like, I have to prove that I know.
And then obviously just regular Dale Earnhardt, RIP. But that's basically it.
I don't know if I have any favorite. I like watching certain ones. Like Chris Bell, Adrian Almendinger, who has a great, he has a cat named Mr. Tickles on Instagram. So I follow Almendinger's cat on Instagram, which is great. Austin Cindric, and then you have Ty Dillon and Austin Dillon.
Are they brothers? Kind
of, again, those are like just personalities.
Yes. Yes. Love that.
Yes. Which is fun. Are they brothers, cousins? I think they're brothers. I'm pretty sure they're brothers. Someone's typing. Whatever. We'll learn soon.
We'll fact check this later. One thing about the
their problem is there's so many NASCAR drivers. You're just
podcast
like,
is we don't – we just say things on this podcast, and people have to fact check for themselves, and that's on them.
I remember asking that question every single time I would stream a NASCAR race watching along, and I always seem to forget the answer. But there's so many goddamn drivers. And then when it becomes playoff season, half of them don't matter anymore because they can't score in the points, but they still get the points. It's a whole thing.
Wait,
we can talk about that.
Wait, yeah. So how many drivers – I mean, this is perfect because we were going to ask you about, like, the team structure of NASCAR. But, like, how many – like, I mean, we're all very used to F1. There's 10 teams, 2 drivers per team, 20 drivers. Like, what is it with NASCAR?
40 drivers, but 36 guaranteed to charter teams because you need a charter to run a team, and charters cost – millions of dollars, and you can only have is it charter per team or charter per car? I think it's charter per car.
That's okay. Go ahead, Google. Go ahead, Google. We Google things all the time. That's what editing is for.
Okay, good. There's 36 charters. You need a charter per individual car. Good. No, you can leave that in. I just gotta be honest. Like right for F1, I still Google things too, and that's completely okay.
Every week,
it's okay to Google.
It's okay. It's okay to not know things and admit when you don't know things. Yeah, it's crazy to say that.
So you have many. You have manufacturers, you have owners, and you have drivers. You can only have 4 charters, aka 4 cars.
Okay.
And that means you have 4 different drivers, but manufacturers are the engine. Oh, my Google thought I was talking to her. No.
So each car only has 1 driver. So like if you're a driver, kind of like, well, F1, this is my car.
Well, interesting that you say that, because sometimes you can switch when it almost doesn't matter anymore.
Okay.
Let's not do exceptions.
Okay. Okay.
Basically,
don't confuse us. We're still so new. Okay. You can't throw in exceptions to the rules.
Yeah.
This is NASCAR 101. We will cover that in NASCAR 102.
You know that rule I before E except after C, but it turns out the majority of those words actually don't follow that rule. We'll learn about that in high school. Right now we're in elementary school. We're learning I before E except after C right now. So there's the owner who owns the 4 charters. You might hear them as like 23XI, Richard Childress Racing, things like that. Like those are the owner, and they each have 4 cars. And then you have, right, each driver, let's say, I'm just going to throw it out there. Like Kevin Harvick is driving the TG1F car. And then
I was like, oh, that's a fun car name. And then I realized, like, what you're saying.
It's you guys.
I was like, oh, that's fun. I wonder who they are.
But then under you is also me. Mm-hmm. But me and Kevin Harvick are going to compete against each other. Like, I'm not trying to help him out. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for me to do that because I want the points. I want the prize money.
So it's okay. So win. It's not like team based, like how in Formula One, where it's like they'll pull team orders because they're like, hey, actually, like this will help us in the championship if, you know, so and so gets a place above you strategically because they'll be doing better than, you know, their rival at the other team. But it doesn't matter because in NASCAR, they're all racing against each other no matter what.
So both of our crews get paid and work for mm-hmm. you. But our crews are making sure that each individually one of us wins.
Got it.
Under you.
So technically we're the winner no matter what, but we don't care how it plays out underneath us.
Right. You guys are like the CEO mm-hmm. of like the whole entire four car, responsible for staff decisions, matters, control over finances, things like that. There's team managers. And then there's crew chiefs, right, which we're more familiar with. Then it just gets down a little bit further. Department specialists for engines, aerodynamics, tires, engineers, general mechanics, pit crew, spotters, and then media and like the general truck driver for transport and logistics. But yeah, each team, then you just race your little heart out. Do your best.
So do they have like, can new teams kind of come onto the scene whenever they have enough money for the charters? like, do we see that, like, fluctuate a lot? Or is it usually just, like, there's 40 drivers?
Is there a cap 36? On amount of teams?
I assumed – so there's 36 charters for sure that are – then you can have 40 drivers, so you can have four, I think, additional as needed. I'm not sure about additional drivers past 40.
Okay.
To be honest with you.
So at any given time during a race on a Sunday, there are 36 drivers competing?
Okay. Yes.
Unless one of them crashes out. So not any given
time. Well, that, I mean, like at the start, like we'll assume everyone's up to full speed, where the minimum number of drivers, like everyone's at full health, 36. And the max is 40?
Okay. Yes. Oh, I think the max is 40. I think there's 40, there's 36 like charter spots that people bought, and then the four additional spots. By the way, charters aren't cheap. I think they're estimated to be 20 to 30 million okay. per car. So
whoa. Okay.
But the max someone can own is four charters, aka four cars.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like with Formula One, it's like $250 million entrance fee. So, and then that's not including the cost to run those teams. So it doesn't surprise me that NASCAR is also not inexpensive, or it's expensive to
those to numbers join. Are just so crazy to me. Like, that's like a crazy dollar amount. Like, that just like is insane to me. I can't wrap my head around that.
Like,
I just keep thinking the origin of these sports. Like, we're outrunning the cops to carry moonshine, and now I need to pay $30 to run around. Right? Like, how dare you?
I mean, literally, that's America for you. Take something that is was for the people and then make it like super expensive to do. But that's interesting because obviously it's a lot of money when Formula One cars crash, right? When they ruin those cars, it is a heavy price tag to be able to fix them. But with NASCAR, because they're all stock cars, they're kind of the same. Do you know, like, if it's equivalent expensive? Because obviously I think they crash more. I feel like they crash more in NASCAR, but I know because they're stock cars, like, maybe it's not as big of a deal.
Oh, it's still expensive, don't get me wrong, but right, not like a Formula One component. And I know there's limits in Formula One, right? How many times you can fix something or change something, etc. But NASCAR, you can have changes every single time you go to a racetrack of some kind. So because of the oval or the angle of the oval and things like that. So not as much, right? And then F1, like I said, carbon fiber a little bit earlier, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So yeah, F1. I mean, still expensive. I don't want to like.
No, I know. It's
something like $10 million is nothing.
No, obviously it's still expensive, but I think when we think of F1 being like the most expensive motorsport series in comparison, like nickels and dimes, maybe.
I would want to see like IMSA with the LMDH, the new car that's out this year and things like that, compared to F1. Hmm. That'd be interesting. Oh, I don't know about the entrance fee to IMSA. I still think just American motorsports are more accessible, but that's me and my high horse.
I mean, I will agree with you on that as well. So this is why we're expanding outside of Formula One into other motorsport series, because obviously I feel like American motorsport series are sometimes a little more fun too. So we're going broad here.
I like what you said. Like, they don't pretend to be anything else. Like, NASCAR and IndyCar are fully aware.
Yeah.
Of what they are and what they do. Like, we get it.
And I mean, I'm grateful for Formula One for piquing my interest in motorsport. And now I'm able to explore those other avenues and get into the other series and feel more confident about exploring those options and feeling like I'm not quite a newbie and I can maybe talk a little bit of shop around it.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm kind of excited. I feel like F1 did not calculate for that. They're like, oh, we're going to keep them here. I'm like, are you? Because I don't know if you looked at Vegas. That shit's ridiculous compared to Miami. I thought Miami was bad.
Oh, my God. Building,
so with street circuits, right? Like, my parents went to Monaco, and they're like, oh, first of all, it's impossible to navigate, obviously, during a race weekend. But there's obviously, like, general admission areas, just general areas where people exist and that you're just going to see without a ticket and just watch the race. But in Vegas, supposedly, they're building
fences walls
where you can't see through. They're building, like, temporary walls so, like, people cannot watch. And I was like, this is
It's stupid. So absurd. Like,
insane.
It's
gross. And they're like booking all of the rooms at the hotels that face the track. Like, they're like, yeah, it's crazy. Okay, so you told us about like the drivers you really like to watch, but like objectively, who are the main characters of NASCAR? I feel like in F1 we have like Toto and Christian are like, you know, big faces of the sport. We have Lewis, obviously one of the most successful drivers of all time. We have Max, who's kind of coming up on his throne. Like, who are like the people in NASCAR that if I was at a bar and people start talking about NASCAR. Like, I should know who these people are.
I mean, you already know Haas, so you can say Stuart Haas Racing if you really wanted to. Okay. And, like, throw that out there. Richard Childress Racing is another owner that you can talk about. And we can kind of go through it in a second. Obviously, Kyle Busch. Mm-hmm. Kyle Busch is racing with Richard Childress Racing next year. They produce 6 cup championships for RCR with a Dale Earnhardt when he was behind the wheel of the number 3. Do it for Dale, 2023.
Praise hell, praise Dale.
So, hell yeah. So, Kyle Busch is leaving, like, a decade plus from Joe Gibbs Racing. He's going to Richard Childress Racing. So that's interesting to see this year.
That feels like I don't know probably if you heard about a big Ross deal, huh?
Yeah. And it's interesting. They had I don't know the full story, and you can definitely Google this. There was some tension between Kyle Busch and RCR where they, like, when they announced it, they, like, made a joke about, like, the incident that happened and, like, gave him a watch. There was, like, some kind of, like, fight and it, like, whatever. It was very interesting. And then they, like, addressed it and everyone's like, ooh, like, how do they put this aside? Because people hold on to beef so long in NASCAR. It's great. How do they put this aside for them to race together? So that's going to be interesting to watch for this year. We have Ross Chastain, you might have heard, for the move, the stunt that he pulled when he rode the wall.
Nope. I did see that. That was nuts.
That was fucking crazy. They just released a rule today, like, that is banned.
Oh, man, boo.
We all saw that coming.
I was like, that was a video game. Like, that was, like, me at the arcade, like, playing those video games and, like, purposely hitting the wall so that I would just, like, go.
I'm very surprised. I don't know who thought of that. I don't know if it was him or his spotter or his crew chief. And they're like, or he was just like, look, I'm going to try this and see if it works and, like, go for it.
Literally crazy.
Shoot your shot, baby. See what happens.
Shoot your shot.
It's a big ask for forgiveness, not permission type of situation.
Yeah, he's been known to kind of have, like, questionable aggression. Mm. Is the best way I can say it. Like, people are like, okay, dude, like, relax. But he's no longer the new guy. Oh, I guess if you've been Chastained, he also has a tendency to crash people out. So it's called being Chastained because he took you out. And you're like, oh, Busch just got Chastained. It's just, like, natural during a race. So that's kind of what he's known for. He's also a watermelon farmer. Or his family's comes like 8th generation watermelon farmer. Right? This is the shit that, like, F1 does not have. They're all, like, rich and bougie, and you're like, I don't give a shit.
Watermelon farmer. I'm dead. That's a bachelor. That's a bachelor bio. That's like, he's on The Bachelor, and it's like him, age, and then watermelon farmer. I'm obsessed.
I love it. I just love, like, all their backgrounds, where they come from and things like that. It's so interesting to me. Jimmy Johnson's kind of coming back a little bit. He's part owner of the Petty GMS, plans to return to the track on a partial schedule, which you're allowed to do in NASCAR. And he's going to be back on the Daytona 500, which he's won twice. So Jimmy Johnson's someone definitely to know.
Here's a question that I have that is not in our question list that we gave you, but ooh, I'm just thinking about it.
The curve.
So, yeah, this is the tough one. So this past year, Nicole and I almost went to a NASCAR race, specifically because Kimi Räikkönen was racing in it at Watkins Glen. In New York. So how does that work? Can people just, like, decide to, like, race one race and just be like, oh, I'm going to be in NASCAR this week? And, like, what do they do? Do they, like, contact the team and they're like, you can have one of our charters and, like, race? Or I feel like that would never fly in F1. Like, they'd be like, obviously you can't just, like, decide to race an F1 race.
You know, that's a great question. And I wish I could answer it for
that's
you.
That's all right.
That's okay if you can.
But it's also very popular in American motorsports because this happens in IndyCar as well. Not everyone races the full roster. Some people just race the Indy 500 because it's a huge deal. It's definitely something that is differentiated. Like, F1 doesn't do it, but I'm pretty sure it's just in their rules. Obviously, if you don't race the full roster, you can't get the full points. But there's just, like, certain tracks that are just different than others, whether it's just the history, tradition, and the difficultness of it. Like, Rolex 24, not everyone's going to compete a full IMSA race, but everyone wants to do the Rolex 24 because that's very famous.
Now, you brought up earlier, you mentioned playoffs. What are playoffs in NASCAR? What does that mean?
Okay, how do I even start this?
Deep breaths.
Hand in the head.
Yeah, you can't physically see me or visually see me. I'm rubbing my eyebrows with my fingers.
No, well, literally, like, this video head clip, in it's hands, going on. It's going
full
on.
Full sigh.
I'm just trying to think about, like, the simplest, like, I'm trying not even get to numbers. They're
I'm so sorry. I asked such a difficult question. It's just, like, it's hard for me to comprehend thinking about, especially when you say, like, some people.
Yo, me too.
Some people can race certain races, and then there's, like, different point systems, and, like, not everyone's racing the whole roster. So, like, when playoffs come into terms, because right, it's easy for me to think about football, for example, right? People play, they have set games and they all play, and then the top teams make it to the playoffs because they had the best season. But like, what does a playoff in NASCAR look like? If it is it just a race where there's significantly less people racing?
No. Oh, okay. So that's interesting that you say that. No, everyone still races in the playoffs.
Okay.
But it's only the top 16 that last year, the top 16 that it matter. Okay. All right. All right. Sorry. Okay. I'm going to say this. I'm going to try my best. And I'm happy to talk
about
this.
I believe in you.
We can take this offline.
This is NASCAR 102. We're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah. So I'm just going to go with 2022.
Okay. In most simple terms.
More seriously watching. Every time I start, I get excited. Okay. The way the NASCAR point system works is there are points for finishing first, second, third, blah, blah, blah. There are stages in NASCAR mm-hmm. races. They just changed this rule today. So it used to be that there are three, let's say there are three stages in a NASCAR race, for example, and see NASCAR police are coming for me right now.
Yeah, it's the guys coming for you.
And what happens in a stage break is a stage ends after a certain number of laps, they wave a yellow flag and everyone has to regroup. Like everyone slows down, regroups, and then you basically have another race and then a stage break. And people were annoyed because the whole point of a NASCAR race is to last X number, 3 hours in a row, and not regroup. Like if you're in the back, like a lap down or something, that's your problem. Like not mine, buddy. So people were annoyed by these stage breaks and then people were like, oh, it's more exciting because they regroup and try again and regroup and try again. This year there are stages still, but there's no stage breaks. So they're not going to regroup. There are stages stage one will end in lap 55, but there won't be a stopping or like a slowdown and everyone regroups. Like you're going to keep going. And then the new stage starts, which is nice because people will argue right again. And the whole point is you race your whole Daytona 500, 500 laps, like no breaks. So you can get points for second, third. First and stage points. If you win a stage, if you're first in the stage, when the stage ends, you also get stage points.
Right.
There are 16 spots in the championship playoff. You can get a spot if you win a race. Therefore, points kind of don't matter. So if 16 different drivers win 16 different races, you have your 16 in the playoffs.
Okay.
Which sucks because you can be second for all the races and there could be different number one drivers and you can have a bajillion points. But that doesn't matter.
But if there's more, if more drivers win, like if there's like 18 drivers that have won races, but there's only 16 spots, to then they look at like points to see like.
Right.
Okay.
Or they'll see like if let's say Christopher Bell wins every single race, then they'll go into points and be like, okay, who was after him, et cetera.
Okay, got
like
it.
That. But if the X number of drivers win all different races, those are your.
So we go into playoffs. Like, there's 16 drivers, top 16, but everyone is technically still racing.
Yes.
So what is the point if you're car number 17?
Because how boring would it be if there was only 16 drivers in the grid as opposed to the 40 that we're used to?
But then what's really the point of the playoffs then?
Well, it's for the 16 people that go down. But then not only do you have
what happens
the drivers' championship.
What happens if like 17 passes 16? Are they now in the playoffs or no? They're still like – you don't matter.
Like, what if someone wins that's not in the playoffs?
Oh, no. It's only 16. The 16 people, like, all that matters. Oh, here's the point system, right? So how they differentiate the people from the 16, from the people versus from everyone else, from 17 to 40, is they give the top 16 2,000 points automatically for being in the playoffs. So therefore, the person in 16th is 2,000 points or whatever ahead of there we go.
It's literally it's kind of like whose line is it anyway? What's the slogan?
Everything's made up and the points don't matter.
So that's NASCAR apparently.
I'm dead.
NASCAR everything points don't matter. Everything's made up.
But there's still the owner's championship too. So that's the thing. So you have
this is like a 12-part series. This is like a 12-part series living on NASCAR.
Playoffs is a whole other series. Yeah. Personalities, people. We can do a podcast per driver, per team, whatever you want. Manufacturer.
Three cars, three girls, one NASCAR. We're starting a spinoff series.
Oh, done.
I'm dead.
So there's 16, 12, 8, and 4. And the final four compete in Phoenix, Arizona.
Got it.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a 16. And then, right, so the 16 get like the 2,000 points, ready? And then like 12 move up like another 1,000 points. So they distinguish themselves from the four that just left. They get an additional like 1,000 points. And the 8 get like an additional something 1,000 points. So they distinguish themselves from the people who just left. It's just like a whole thing.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, this is – that is – that's like expert level knowledge. I feel like – that's showing people you like really know what you're talking about. But what are – the three most important things that we need to know about NASCAR to become new fans? Like, it could literally be like, number one, not all the tracks are oval. Like, number one thing you need to know, like, whatever you think, what are the three things that like I need to know to become a fan of NASCAR?
To become a fan of NASCAR, top three things. I feel like we covered so much of this thing in this like, past like hour or so that like
to like dilute what we just talked about down.
Okay, the first thing, if the first time you watch a race, it is absolutely understandable you have no idea what the flying F is going on, and that is okay.
Okay, good.
I just need everyone to know that I think that that's the problem with barrier to entry in motorsport is one of the just understanding. Because right, if I can just log on to a baseball game.
Streaming. We're too online. Too online.
It would take. I can turn on the TV and show baseball games 3-1. Great. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then you turn it on to like a 24-hour race, 13 hours in, and they're like, there's multi classes. This person's ninth in their class, but 17th overall, and so and so. And
yeah,
we're like, Jesus Christ, what's happening? So it's understandable in NASCAR. You won't understand the first time.
Especially if you're out joining during the playoffs.
Like, what are all these other guys doing here? Which is – so this is what happened with Bubba Wallace. He didn't make the playoffs, but they put him in a different car just so the owner could still win the owner's championship.
Mm. Interesting.
Interesting.
Because he's still good. He's a great driver, but they want him – they want his ass in a different car just so he can take him to the final win. So, yeah, understandable. You're not going to understand. And I guess I don't know how people got into Formula One, whether it's like Drive to Survive kind of like taught us mm-hmm. those things. NASCAR has its own similar series, and so does IndyCar, by the way. You can Google both of those and then watch each documentary. And then the Bubba Wallace documentary is a great one. And there's the NASCAR one, of course. And what really helps me is just honestly, just for a race, just understand you're going to Google a lot of things. And just do that the first couple of races. Because after you start doing it a couple times, you're like, oh, I know this already. Like, I know this. Like, this makes sense. And keep going forward. But the second thing is, yeah, you need to go to a race. Going to a race, I think, in general, for any motorsport series, is just something vastly different that you cannot encapsulate in a television.
100%.
Like, through the television or through streaming. Whether it's the atmosphere, the vibes, the people, etc. You need to go to a race.
You also learn. It's a great learning experience, too, right? You get to learn more by being there in person.
Yeah, and something that you definitely need to denote for NASCAR if you ever go to a race, please bring hearing protection. Formula One people kind of talk about that, but no joke, especially if you're in the oval, you're going to hear those fucking engines like the whole entire time. And you can like see them, obviously, which is great because sometimes when you go to a Formula One race, depending where you are in general admission, you just see the cars whiz by you every couple minutes and you're like, great, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't have the television jumbotron in front of me. But for NASCAR, especially ovals, you're like, oh, this is awesome. I can see them, but you can hear them the entire time too. So please bring hearing protection. And the third thing is, maybe this doesn't relate to NASCAR. Maybe this is my spicy take that I'm going to leave this segment on with. That you don't have to watch all motorsports. You don't have to like all motorsports, but you have to respect all of them. Because this particularly goes out to certain people that I see say like NASCAR drivers are terrible. Mm-hmm. Like they could never survive an F1 or an IndyCar. They could never do WRC and things like that. It is an oval. It is not a circle. It's especially harder. I dare anyone to go and like if your friend has a sim rig in iRacing, jump on their rig, get on a short oval track, and I dare you to survive for 10 laps without crashing and spinning out because you will absolutely not be able to do that. It is substantially hard. So you don't have to like all motorsports, but I highly implore everyone to respect all motorsports because, for example, if you're an F1 fan and all you do is shit on other motorsports, then you don't give a shit about motorsports. You just care about being elitist and better.
Yeah,
everyone.
We hate that.
Preach, baby. Preach.
We hate that.
You might go to NASCAR race and not like it, but that's fine. But you still should respect the drivers and understand what they're doing And that is extremely difficult.
I guarantee that Kate and I are going to a NASCAR race. We're not having the time of our lives.
How close are you guys to Watkins
Glen? I mean, I'm in New York City, so, and Kate's in.
Yeah, I want to say, we like mapped it out. I want to say it was like 5 hours.
Yeah.
Something like that. So really not that far.
Six in D.C.
I'm trying to
go. Honestly, if you guys, I always go to the Watkins Glen and IMSA, which is a different racing series, which we could talk about some other time. But we should consider it.
Yes, absolutely.
If you'd like to go to IMSA race.
I would be honored to go to my first other actually, I've been to an IndyCar race, so I can't say that my first other motorsport series, but I would be honored to be go to my first NASCAR series with you, Ash.
Me too. Okay, so our final thing here. First of all, thank you so much for being here and for being patient with us and teaching us and learning with us. This was awesome. And like, I mean, I for one am like super stoked on NASCAR now. Like I am ready.
Yeah, is there a race this weekend? Should we, when's the next race? Should we throw it on?
Oh, it's funny. It's actually the Clash this weekend, which is something
hosted by Rob Lowe. Yeah, I don't know why.
Get out. I'm going to be watching it.
You're good. Okay. Can't wait. Sorry, Kate, didn't mean to cut
But Daytona 500, I'm expecting a lot of texts being like, what's going on? What's happening? I will answer them for you. I will be there if you want to watch Daytona 500.
For Daytona 500.
When is that?
I'm like so.
In February. Okay. I don't know the exact date.
Okay, cool.
It's not like I can't Google it in front of my computer right now. Oh my God, it's February 19th. Look at
Perfect.
That.
Perfect.
Dope. Okay, we'll be watching. We'll be texting you. For anyone that's listening to this episode and is like us now very intrigued by NASCAR and wants to continue to learn more outside of obviously following you on all social media platforms and Twitch, who are your favorite NASCAR personalities, journalists, content creators out there that people should throw a follow to keep learning more?
Sure. I think my first and foremost, the one that I use during my watch along is Bob Pockris. He's great. He just tweets nonstop and like very quickly. And he's always the first to know things. He's always like my source of truth, whether Bob knows it or not. I really appreciate him. And we have Taylor Kitchen, who's a great content creator and does kind of like the news roundups and explains things very well. Jesse Punch, who's a commentator, and then Jamie Little, who's also a commentator. You have NBC and Fox. So
perfect. We'll include all of those in a little story on Instagram, so people will be
in the bio of the
episode. Bob's gonna be like, "What is going on?"
He's gonna get all these followers from all of these women, and he's gonna be like, "What happened here?" But yeah, no, that's incredible. And Ash, what is your streaming schedule? Where can people, when can people find you on the internet?
Ooh, I'm primarily streaming on Twitch under Ash Vandelay, Ashvandelay, which is a Seinfeld reference, not my real name. I feel like I always have to say that because people are always surprised.
I actually didn't even know that.
No, I didn't either. This is like literally brand new information. I'm so embarrassed right now. Embarrassed.
I just assumed that was your last name. I guess I just like never really thought that it wouldn't be. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, but I started watching Twitch for like with Call of Duty streamers or gaming streamers, and they all have like usernames like Ninja, right? That's someone's real name, or like Iceman Isaac and things like that. Like those aren't their real names. So I was like, oh, I'll just do like Ash Vandelay. And I'm like, damn, that sounds too much like a real name that I didn't realize it. But it's just like, no, it's just like a screen name.
I'm
username.
Screaming.
Is your name Ash?
It's Ashley.
My name is Ashley. That's true. My first name is Ashley.
Okay, don't worry. No, I thought so, but now I'm questioning everything that I know.
I hope she would have corrected us if like we've been gone the last year referring to her as Ashley and not like she was just like, no, actually that's like hilarious. Halsey. Everyone just calls her Halsey and not like her real name, Ashley.
Exactly. I was like super nervous for a minute. I was like, I don't even know anything.
Breaking news.
Who are you? Why are you on our podcast? I don't even know who this girl is anymore.
Okay, sorry. Didn't mean to disrupt you there. On Twitch, Ash Vandelay, you can find her, not her real name. But her Twitch name.
And all other social media. It's all under Ash Vandelay. YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. LinkedIn.
And so you usually do watch-alongs with F1, NASCAR, yes. IndyCar. And then I know that you do some like one-off.
Ooh, sim racing. So if you're into sim racing at all, we'll do some iRacing special events and stuff like that.
And obviously you've been doing a lot of live blogging at events, at NASCAR events as of late. So if you are interested in learning more about NASCAR, please follow Ash along on her journeys as she becomes one of the top content creators in the NASCAR space. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's very nice. Thank you.
You've always, Ash, you were kind of like one of our first motorsport friends in this space.
I think the first.
Yeah. And so we're eternally grateful for, you know, your support and your friendship throughout this journey with us, I think.
Well, you guys fed me tacos. I have to repay that in some way. I really, that's so nice. Anyone who feeds me, it just automatically gets a win in my book.
We fed you and we also got you like 4,000 bug bites from like the most mosquito infested backyard of all time.
Worth it.
Well, Ash Vandelay, whoever you are, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being here. This was so much fun, and I feel so much more learned about NASCAR, and I sincerely cannot wait to go to my first NASCAR race with you, because now that's my bucket list, and now that's what we're doing.
Let's go. That'll be fun. Thank you so much for having me.
What a convo.
Also, NASCAR 2023. Two girls, one NASCAR.
Also, let me just apologize that I had some technical difficulties there at the end. Kate had to take it away. I don't know what happened to my computer, but it did not want to cooperate, thankfully, at the end of the interview.
Thank God.
But yes, what a fun treat we had today.
It was so fun. I love Ash. I love everything about her. So that was amazing. I'm in on NASCAR. Mm-hmm. We're going to a NASCAR race this year.
I mean, sign, seal, delivered. I literally have always wanted to do Talladega. So
yeah, I just feel so like we have to do something. So yeah. I'm hoping that Kimmy is at Watkins Glen again or something, because I'll go to that for sure.
The minute Danny gets into NASCAR, you know I'm going to be a hoe for NASCAR.
You know. You know.
So I'll be there every weekend. I feel like we learned a lot, though, and I am excited for some of our other friends and experts to come on and teach us about some of the other series, because, you know, like we said, F1 is not on every single month of the year, and sometimes we just need a little bit of other motorsport to wet our whistle, to say the least.
To wet our whistle, to say the very least.
So, you know, now's the time for us to start exploring our other options, and NASCAR, it's up there, I think.
I'm very excited about it.
So if you guys also want to explore NASCAR, you know, head to the link in our bio, head to our Instagram highlights. We'll, you know, put up some of the content creators that Ash talked about in the interview or in the conversation we just had, and, you know, give them a follow and come on this journey with us.
Come on this journey with us. And okay, it's time for one of our new favorite segments, Manifest Minute.
Not a new segment.
It is it's relatively new that it's a segment that it's a crowdsourced Manifest Minute.
I guess.
So thank you guys, because after last week when we did call you guys out for not sending in your Manifest Minute requests, we have gotten so many. So please be patient with us. If you don't hear your manifest right away, we will be getting to all of them. We are trying to look at like dates in them. So if someone has something coming up very quickly, we'll try to get to it faster. But we did get a lot of requests for these. So we're ciphering through them. So just be patient with us. The manifest when it will come. But keep sending them in if you have things that you want us to manifest. So I will take this one this week.
Okay.
We are manifesting for our friend Caitlin. Caitlin is...
Let's go, Caitlin.
Caitlin's a university student in the UK. She has a job interview coming up for a part-time side hustle. We love a part-time side hustle.
We know a thing or two about that.
We know one or two things. It's her first ever in-person job interview. The others have been online because of COVID. So she's super nervous and would love for the TG1F community to collectively manifest the interview going well, that she slays all of the questions and is filled with confidence and maybe even gets the job. So
not maybe.
Caitlin, that was your first mistake here. We will be saying definitely you're getting the job. So if everyone listening to this podcast right now can please shut their eyes, take a deep breath in. A deep breath out, and I want you to think about our friend Caitlin. She's in the UK. She's at university. She's studying. She is the hardest worker you know. Caitlin's going off on her job interview. She's going in. She is absolutely crushing it. She looks amazing, which means she feels amazing, which means she's doing amazing. They're asking her questions. She's just nailing it, nailing it, nailing it. They're trying to throw curveballs at her. She's hitting them out of the park. She knows exactly what she's doing. She is so confident. She is ready. Once again, I'm going to repeat this. She looks amazing and she feels amazing.
Mm-hmm.
She leaves that interview and the person interviewing her says, "Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to meet you. We'll be in touch very soon." Caitlin says, "Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to meet you." Gives a nice firm handshake, walks out the door, knows she nails it. Not even 10 minutes later, she's got a ding on her phone. There's an email from the person who interviewed her, says, "Thank you again. That was a wonderful interview. We would love for you to have this job."
Amen. Yes.
Caitlin is thrilled. We're all thrilled.
Could you say Caitlin's whooping with joy?
Caitlin is whooping with joy, as are we. As is the collective TG1F community. Everyone is whooping with joy. Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
And so now take another deep breath in to lock this in. A deep breath out. And now, TG1F community, I'm going to need you guys to do something for me. I'm going to need you to go forward in this life knowing that your friend Caitlin got this job.
Mm-hmm.
And she crushed it. She nailed it. They are now sending out emails saying, "Best interview questions I've ever been asked." And the questions that Caitlin asked. Caitlin, you're listening to this. I need you to go forward knowing that you're going to nail this. Knowing mm-hmm. that you are confident, knowing that you are worthy of this job, and knowing that they would be very lucky to have you.
Absolutely.
Not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go. We're very excited for you. Keep us posted.
Keep us posted. Yes, absolutely. We have to know if our manifests actually come true for people. We're going to get like bad ratings and be like, "They manifested something for me and it didn't come true." Results may vary, friends.
Results may vary.
No purchase necessary. Results may vary.
You got to get one of those like commercials, like at the end of the commercial when the person speaks so fast. It's like all the warnings. We have to get one of those.
I'm screaming. Well, friends, this has been a very fun episode. We will see you next week with another fun episode that we have planned for you. Kate and I will be together on that. So look out for that. We've got some fun stuff coming up. But
until then,
we'll see you guys
on the internet.
Bye.